If you haven't been with us for the last number of weeks, we've been in this Christmas series called God With Us. And over the course of the last 2 weeks, we've taken away some very important truths that Christmas gives to us. And the first thing we learned is we may enjoy God on the mountaintops, but we get to know him intimately in the valleys. And then last week when we talked about wilderness, we learned that your deepest need becomes a gift when it drives you to depend on God. We've had a theme verse for this series, and it'll continue even into next week if you're with us. And that theme verse is found in Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. It says, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. See, Christmas is a wonderful time of the year, but not for everybody. Some people, Christmas is difficult, and for some people, Christmas is all about fun and friends and family and trees and lights and glitter and presents, and there's nothing wrong with any of that. Not here to say, well, that's not real Christmas. I don't believe that. I mean, any time that we can celebrate life and celebrate people, celebrate friends and family, it's wonderful. Share our love with them, express it through gifts if you have to. Whatever, some it's just time. But Christmas is more than all of this. Christmas is more than a turkey or a ham or figgy pudding, whatever that is. Christmas is about Jesus. Christmas is about God's love for you and I. Christmas is about God's love for this world. Christmas is when God sent his son into this world so that he would be Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. What does that mean? What does that take on? What does that speak to us? It's a description of Jesus. It's a description of Emmanuel, God with us. How did God come to be with us? How did God end up being with Jesus, in Jesus, and with us? See, the Christmas story is described in the Bible. It's simple, it's profound, and it's mind-blowing. An angel comes to a teenage girl named Mary, who is betrothed to a young gentleman named Joseph. Now, betrothed, we don't have that equivalency in our society today. It's much more than engaged. It's almost married, but not quite in that culture. Mary would have been considered Joseph's wife, although they didn't live together yet. Although they didn't consummate any marriage yet. So she's a virgin. And an angel comes to her and says, "Oh, Mary, wonderful news." I'm paraphrasing, okay? Wonderful news. The Holy Spirit is going to come on you. God is going to overwhelm you. And God is going to plant his seed in your womb and you're going to be pregnant. Think about it for a moment. You're that teenage girl who's never been with a man. And you got to go home and tell your betrothed that you're pregnant and your dad that you're pregnant. And there was really nobody involved. It was God. It was God. But the course of the story, I don't have time for it, is it happens. And she conceives by the Holy Spirit of God, and she is carrying this baby who Matthew tells us is called Emmanuel, God with us. John's gospel has a very different take on the Christmas story. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the first three books of the New Testament, all have this Christmas story. And they interweave. When you put it together, you get this beautiful story. But John doesn't touch any of this. But he touches the Christmas story in a very unorthodox way, not the way you would expect it. In John chapter 1, the very, very first words that he opens his story with is this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Then if you go down to verse 14, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. If you put this together, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God became flesh in the person of this baby called Jesus Christ. And he gives us this picture that Jesus is fully mankind. He's fully man, mankind, human flesh. He is born of a woman just like every one of us have been born. And he's fully God because the Holy Spirit is what conceived upon Mary. He is fully man and fully God. He is God incarnate. We sang that this morning in that song, Emmanuel. God incarnate. What does that mean? It means God became flesh and lived among us. He is God incarnate. He is God in the flesh. Why is it important that God came into this world? Why is it important that God would send Jesus as his representative? Because we needed to know the love of God. And Jesus is the example of the love of God. Jesus came to earth to show us the love of God. That's why we need him, Emmanuel, God with us. God incarnate, fully man and fully God. He didn't give up being God. He didn't give up being man. He is fully both God and man. He is God incarnate. There's an old tale, maybe a fable, told of a great Persian king who loved his people dearly. And while he reigned over them and he loved the people of his kingdom, he always wanted to know who they were and wanted to know what it was like to be them and wanted to know how they felt. And so he would often disguise himself and he'd leave the palace and he'd wear common workers' clothes or even a beggar's clothes. And he'd walk into the city and he'd talk to people and mingle with them. He was even known to visit people's houses unaware. One day he knocked on the door of a very, very poor man, very poor man. The man lived in the cellar. He ate coarse food, nothing fine, nothing refined, just sustenance. And he shared that with this man who came to visit, not knowing this man was his king. And they had a nice visit, and the king encouraged him and spoke nice words to him. And then the king went home. The story goes on. Sometime later, that king was really moved by that very, very poor man who lived in a cellar but didn't seem to have it drag him down. And he wondered how he was, so he decided he was going to go back and visit him. And this time, he would reveal who he really was. And so the king in disguise goes back to that poor man's house and knocks on the door. And the man welcomes him in again. And in the course of their conversation, the king, you know, takes off his disguise and says, "I am your king. And I just wanted to know, it's been wonderful to just visit with you and get to know you." And he thought, surely, you know, this poor man is going to ask for some help. And who could blame him? Like a gift or some money or a better place to live or better food to eat. But the poor man did none of that. Instead, actually, he said to his king, "You left your palace and your glory to visit me in this dark, dreary place. You ate the coarse food that I gave you and you didn't complain. You lived among me and I didn't know who you were. You brought gladness to my heart. To others you may have given riches, but to me you have given me yourself." The King of Glory. The Lord Jesus Christ himself came into this world to give himself for you and for me. See, God could have shouted his love from heaven. Instead, he showed it to us on earth. See, God could have rolled back the heavens and with a loud booming voice heard across this world, he could have said, "All of you people, I made you, love me." But he didn't do that. Instead, he showed it to us on earth through the incarnate Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. You would think that a king would be born in a wonderful place, wouldn't you? A king should be born in a palace. At the very least, the king should be born in the best of hospitals. Think about a royalty today. Everything is for them. Jesus, the King of Heaven, left the splendors of heaven and the glory of heaven. He wasn't born in a palace in this world. He was born in a cave. He didn't have the best of angels attending him. He had the cattle and the sheep as witnesses to his birth. And when you stop and wonder and think about it, you understand that there's meaning even in the cave. There's meaning even in his lowly arrival. Because Jesus was proclaiming, I did not come just for the rich and the powerful, but for the common and the ordinary. See, if he was born in the palace, none of us could reach it. But he's born in a cave, common for everyone and anyone. God could have shouted his love from heaven. Instead, he showed it to us on earth. How did he show it to us? He showed it to us in the form of Jesus. He was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. His very first miracle that he performed that's recorded for us is at a party like this. It was a wedding, and they ran out of wine. We don't have any wine for you today. If we run out of punch, we'll drink water and maybe God will turn it into punch. I don't know. But his first miracle was at a party. Then he spent the next 3.5 years pouring himself out, showing us the love of the Father. He poured into a motley crew of 12 men to instill in them the values of the kingdom of heaven so that they could share it with the rest of the world. He would teach the multitudes. He would teach the people. Sometimes they were thousands. Sometimes they were one-on-one like the rich young ruler. Nobody was too unimportant or too big. He would perform many, 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 many miracles. Simple as turning water into wine, as raising Lazarus from the dead and everything in between. He loved the broken. He welcomed the children. He honored the women. He infuriated the religious right, all the while helping people to understand that God loves them. And he is Emmanuel, God with us. God could have shouted his love from heaven. Instead, he showed it to us on earth. And if you don't know the end of the story, let me tell you that Christmas is the beginning of the story, but there's a purpose for his birth. Not only does he come to show us the love of God, but he comes to die for us in the love of God. That 3.5 years after turning water into wine, he would hang on a cross, spill his blood for the forgiveness of your sins and my sin. That on the cross, Jesus would express the love of a heavenly Father for you and I and say, I've come that I would die in your place so that you could live in my place. Jesus died in my place so I could one day live in his place, heaven. See, love isn't something God does. Love is who he is. God is love. God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. It speaks to the constant, continual presence of God in our lives. God is always with you. No matter where you go, no matter what you do, good or bad, God sees it all. God with us. God loves you. He's not the God of the past. He's not the God who is way out there that you can't find him. He's not the God who is so far off that you don't know where to reach him. He is the God of today. He is the God of tomorrow. And he is the God of forever. He is Emmanuel. God with us always. Always. As we close in a moment here, I just ask you to reflect on your life for a moment. Reflect on where you are. Not physically at Highway Church, but where are you in your life? Do you need to invite Emmanuel to come and be with you? Do you need to welcome God into your life? Because God could make a difference in your life. God makes a difference in your heart. God makes a difference. God brings his presence to you and he helps you. He encourages you. He comforts you. Invite him into the disappointments of your life. We've all faced disappointments. We've all faced hard times. Nobody in this room could say, I've skipped through life and everything has been, I don't know, a rose garden. We've all gone through difficulties. We've all faced hardships. Invite him into the areas of your disappointments and your hurt. Invite him into the places of your brokenness because he is Emmanuel, God with you always. 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 Would you close your eyes and bow your heads? Just ask you this morning that maybe you've gotten come here because somebody invited you. Somebody brought you. Maybe you've not thought about Christmas on the other side of the gifts and the presents and the trees and the lights. You've thought of it as a big holiday and a big party, and you've missed out. You were unaware that Christmas is God with you. That Christmas is Emmanuel. God loves you and cares for you. Maybe you're here this morning and say, Pastor, I don't know God. I don't know Jesus. But I can't leave here without knowing him any longer. I want to understand Christmas in its truest sense. I want to understand what it is to have God with me all times. I need to have a relationship with Jesus.